Hey guys, welcome to the Michael Arthur Show on Be Terrific. I am Kevin Foley, your host for today. You can find us on all social media at Be Terrific TV. And for archives of the Michael Arthur Show and other Be Terrific programming, you can find that on BeTerrific.com. How's it going today on this Tuesday, snowy Tuesday here in New Jersey, you know? But nonetheless, it's always bright being here with you, the Terrifics, being able to talk to you guys, talk to you about what's going on in the world. And today is going to be a show where we kind of revert back to a little bit of sports talk. Just searching through trending topics and what's been going on. There's not really much that I've found that's really of peak interest outside of Donald Trump and what's going on there. And as I mentioned on yesterday's episode and previous episodes before that, we're going to try to stay clear of that a little bit, obviously, because it's being talked about enough. A lot of it isn't positive. I'll always try to find a positive spin with that to mention and to talk about. But if I can't find one, then I'll probably steer clear of it altogether. Here at Be Terrific, our goal is to talk about positive news, positive programming in general for the most part, or things that are of entertainment to us, like sports and like movies and you know, the latest things in tech. And you guys know my expertise. I'm not Michael Arces, I'm Kevin Foley, and what I talk about as far as entertainment goes is sports and shows, and I think I covered a lot of that yesterday with the best actors. We're supposed to get to the best actresses, but I think we're going to move that along and push that forward for the next show, maybe tomorrow, as well as I told you I'm working on a guest for you, and I'm still working on that, but hopefully I can have something for you guys this week, but if not, most definitely next week, and I know Michael will be available next week. After things settle down with this busy, tumultuous week going on for him in Las Vegas. But we can go ahead and get started and get things kicked off, I guess. We'll start with the biggest news in sports, which is LeBron James. I think everybody, if they haven't, I think everybody should have heard about LeBron in the comments that he made yesterday about Charles Barkley. And LeBron, he got a lot off his chest. You can tell that it's been brewing for a while. The things that he said weren't things that were just off the cusp and just in the moment. They were things that were brewing up, things that he's been compiling for some time. After numerous Charles Barkley comments regarding his play and his competitiveness and his attitude and to basketball in general, what he's taken as slights and as Barkley being a hater, so to speak. I guess there's different sides of perceiving that. One is that Charles Barkley is doing his job. He's criticizing LeBron professionally for what he does on the court, and what he's doing as a basketball player. LeBron's comments, on the other hand, they didn't have to do with Barkley's ability to analyze the game, or his very limited vocabulary, or anything like that. They cut deep and they were personal. Me personally, I can't wait until Thursday to hear Charles Barkley's response, because I'm sure when they do the NBA on TNT, that's when he's gonna give his feedback or his reply back to LeBron, and I want to see how he handles that. Charles Barkley is not a guy who's shy either. He's not scared to mince words, so it should be interesting. But I want to give you guys a little bit of context to those who aren't aware of what LeBron said yesterday. Okay, so here's some of it. He's a hater. What makes what he says credible? Because he's on TV? I'm not going to let him disrespect my legacy like that. I'm not the one who threw somebody through a window. I never spit on a kid. I never had unpaid debt in Las Vegas. I never said I'm not a role model. I never showed up to the All-Star weekend on Sunday because I was in Las Vegas all weekend partying. All I've done for my entire career is represent the NBA the right way. 14 years, never got in trouble. Respected the game. Print that. I mean, and it goes on from there. I know he wanted to retire a long time ago, but he can't. He's stuck up on that stage every week. And if it makes him want to talk to me, the schedule's out there. He knows every road arena I'll be in. Don't just come up to me at All-Star and shake my hands and smile. I'm tired of biting my tongue. There's a new sheriff in town. Wow. I mean, really, tell him how you feel, LeBron. I mean, don't hold back. Please, just let us know more. I mean, anybody who knows LeBron, who's been covering him throughout his career, he's usually takes the high road. He never really says anything that's controversial or really goes directly at someone the way that he went at Barkley there. I think it's kind of been brewing, not just with Barkley, but I think a lot of frustration with what's been going on with the Cavaliers. I think they finished 7-8, if I believe, for the month of January. That's the worst month of his career, wins and losses wise, in his entire career in the NBA, and probably his entire life. LeBron is not used to losing, and that, along with the I guess the spat that he's having with ownership in regards to spending money on filling a roster spot. And then when you add the criticism for his comments about being a top-heavy team and complaining, I guess, and I criticize him about this as well, about whining about not having enough help. I think all of that was just kind of like a perfect storm. And then when you throw in Barkley's comments from last week about LeBron whining, then you just add the fact that he just lost. By the way, this was after a loss, another loss to a team that there's no way they're supposed to lose to, the Dallas Mavericks. I just think that it just all came at the right time. Not the right time, but at a time that prompted LeBron to just kind of like have this outburst that he's never had before in his career. I guess enough is enough. And I think that he's probably a little bit, he's probably also a little motivated or egged on by his former teammate and best friend Dwayne Wade, also airing out Rajon Rondo last week, in a reply to Rondo. Actually, a lot of NBA drama. It's like this, like as the world turns. It's a big soap opera. But these comments, by the way, were made to an ESPN reporter. This was after most of the media left, and LeBron, I guess, just had to get it off his chest. So he went to that reporter, made those comments, and told him to print it, and the reporter surely did. Just to give you a little bit more context here, Charles Barkley has been critical of LeBron professionally. He's called him a whiner. He's questioned his competitive nature, his competitive spirit as a basketball player, and criticized him for airing out his grievances in regards to the team and needing help and not keeping that in-house. And I think is professional. I don't think he's the only one. I just think that he's the biggest name and probably the biggest mouth out there. And so when Charles Barkley says something, it's going to get a lot of, you know, attention. It's going to get a lot of clicks. It's going to get a lot of retweets. And obviously, LeBron is going to be aware of it. So I guess constantly seeing constantly seeing Barkley's comments and commenting about him in a critical way, the way that he has, was just enough. He did not mince words. I'm trying to find to see what Charles Barkley has said about him, because Charles Barkley did say something about him as well. I'm trying to get exactly the text of what it was that he said, so I can read it to you guys. I don't think I have that one, but long story short, I just kind of like, not word for word, but he called LeBron whiny, questioned his lack of competitive nature. I think in the past he's called the Heat, you know, a bunch of whiny babies. And to be fair, I think that it's not just Charles Barkley who feels this way. Me and LeBron are the same age, you know, we're from the same generation. We are the same generation. But at the same time, I grew up watching Michael Jordan, you know, Grant Hill. Just guys like that from that era. And it was just a different era in general with sports, where athletes didn't complain as much, it felt like. You know, they didn't complain. Like, the great players didn't complain about not having enough. They dealt with what they had, and they won with what they had. And they competed. And they didn't look to join forces with other great players. They wanted to beat other great players, it seemed like, more. And I'm, some people, the opposition to that, storyline or to that narrative, is that players always wanted to play with other great players. They just never had the opportunity. And LeBron's been a pioneer, which is fair and can't be dismissed, which is true. But at the same time, a player like Charles Barkley, I think in the back of his mind, not even in the back of his mind, obviously he's putting it out there. I think the way Charles Barkley feels and how he sees it is, you know, as a great player that he was himself, he never had the opportunity to go and play with Michael Jordan or to go play and say, I'm going to team up with Larry Bird and some of these other players to win championships. And now these guys are doing that, and they're being held in the same regard as guys like Michael Jordan and other great players who never did that. Or they're being regarded higher than players who never won championships because they never did that. If Karl Malone or Charles Barkley had the opportunity to go team up with other great players, history might be written a little bit differently. It's hard to believe that some of that doesn't have to do with Barkley's critiques. And it's not a critique probably just of LeBron James. He just happens to be the leader of the new school. He happens to be the leader of this generation, the face of this generation. But I think it's a problem that a lot of players from the older generations have with players now in general, is that they feel as though they're almost privileged babies in a sense. Guys who don't know what it really takes and the hard work and everything that needs to be done to win. And who, when things get going, when times get tough, instead of like digging deeper and finding ways to improve your team, they're quick to just jump ship or shift the blame to someone else and ask for help. And I think it's a generational gap. And I think that's a large part why Charles Barkley feels as critical as he does about LeBron James and this entire NBA culture and how much they do complain and voice their complaints. On one hand, you could say it's great that players feel strong enough to voice their opinions, to voice how they feel about the NBA or their teams and their situations. And it shows a step in the right direction as far as like player empowerment, which is great. I like that. But it's just, you know, you don't want to hear guys complaining about their teams, especially when it's a team that you just won a championship with, a team that has two all-stars, you know, a team that is pretty much on its way. Even with this losing month, you can almost pencil them in to be in the finals again this year, you know. So, I mean, Charles Barkley's never had that. And so when he sees another great player in LeBron James complaining, it's going to make him say he's whiny. You know, even before this, LeBron James went to the Heat. He's playing with Dwayne Wade and he's playing with Chris Bosh. And then they're complaining about how they're being covered and complaining about this and complaining about that. I mean, as a guy who never had that and never could win, I mean, who was never able to win, in large part due to not having that type of talent and everything else, I mean, it's going to irk you a little bit. It's going to make you a little upset. It's going to make you call somebody whiny. And I don't think that's not only his view. I think that's the view of a lot of people. Like I said before, I'm from LeBron's generation, but a lot of people my age, a lot of people who I'm friends with, a lot of people who've been watching the sport for years, feel the same way about LeBron and a lot of these new NBA stars. Or, in this case, old NBA stars, because LeBron is actually almost like a veteran. Not even almost. LeBron is a veteran now. Dwayne Wade is a veteran. And we're watching these guys act the way they act and complain and about their teams and stuff like that. And it's kind of like, what's going on with you guys? This is not what we're accustomed to. You know, we're all from the same generation, but you guys are just cut differently from what we're accustomed to. The guys we like, Kobe Bryant's and Michael Jordan's, they're not complaining about what they have when they have championship teams, when they have all-stars on their team. You know? And so for you to be doing that, it's like, what's going on? It just sets a bad precedent for the league and for the future stars of the league too as well. So I understand Charles Barkley's critiques. And in all honesty as well, I have to say, I think that even though LeBron may feel that Barkley's a hater for whatever reason, I think it would have been more appropriate to keep his criticisms of Barkley professional, in that criticize him for his analysis, because there's a lot of things you can criticize Charles Barkley for. You can criticize him for his limited vocabulary. You can criticize him for some of his takes on the game. You can even criticize him for not winning the championship. You can criticize him for maybe there's been a lot of talk as far as we've all heard the stories about Charles Barkley and his lack of work ethic and not really putting forth everything that was needed to be a championship player. You could have criticized him for that. But bringing up the Vegas thing and throwing a guy through a window and spitting on a kid and all of that stuff is really, really personal. And I think that he just kind of took it to a place that it didn't need to go. And it could have been avoided. And with that brewing, he had enough time to think about it to know that he was kind of escalating the situation more than anything else. I mean, it'd still be headline news if he talked about the things I mentioned. But that's where it should have been. Now it's personal. Now Charles Barkley, in my opinion, has every right to go into things that are personal about you. And that's unfortunate. We don't want to, now people are going to be, you don't want to see airing out of dirty laundry and things like that on television. I know the media loves it, and the fans may get a kick out of it a little bit, but that's not the way things should be done. But LeBron has kind of opened that door with those comments. And it didn't end there, actually. LeBron talked about Barkley. We can see LeBron's been upset about a few things. He also mentioned, I guess in relation to Barkley, how I guess, like, he's criticized for being friends with a lot of the NBA players. Everybody knows, everybody who watches the NBA and knows the NBA knows about the Banana Boat Crew, as they call them. LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony. They're all great friends, spend a lot of time with each other during the offseason. And they get a lot of criticism for that. For guys who are trying to win a championship and guys who are supposed to be competitive, but they want to play with each other and are friends and spending so much time together. And that's not the way things used to be, supposedly. We've heard it all before. And in regards to that, LeBron, unprompted, like out of nowhere, just gave this comment. Go watch the 93 finals when John Paxson hit the shot, James said. Barkley and Jordan were laughing and joking with each other during one of the games while somebody shooting a free throw in the finals. But, oh, nobody were friends back then. So you can say that he was definitely responding to the criticisms he gets for his relationship with Dwayne Wade and Carmelo Anthony and for some other NBA players and as being shots about his competitiveness. And he's saying, hey, they did it. Why do I get critiqued so much for being friends with people as well? They were doing this in a big game. You know, things like that, I think LeBron has been harboring these feelings for a while. And he let it all out this night. I mean, as far as for money, he said, I collect one paycheck from this. There's the owner. I'm the player. Screw Charles Barkley. I mean, he just went all in. He just not mince words. And he had a little bit of fire for Phil, too, as well. I mean, he's just everything that it feels like anything that was on LeBron's mind. Well, just about everything that's been stewing for the course of years that's made him upset or made him feel disrespected or slighted in any way, he let it out that night after that loss. I went to see Melo at the Garden 2 years ago when we were in New York, James said. They played Portland. I went up to a suite at halftime, and Phil Jackson didn't say one word to me. I mean, come on, LeBron. I mean, he's slighted that Phil Jackson didn't say a word to him. This was before, and this happened before Phil Jackson made his posse comments earlier this year. I mean, well, I should say the latter stages of 2016. So, I mean, a lot's been brewing with LeBron. He's not happy with how he's portrayed and how, I guess, a lot of the old school NBA guys, coaches, players have been covering him and how he's been talked about. Some of it's a little bit unfair, I guess you can say. It's a generational comparison. Everything's going to be compared to Michael Jordan and that generation and what they did because they elevated this to where they elevated the NBA and the league to where they are now. But this is a new school and it's a new way of doing things. And it's hard for some of these guys to constantly hear about how things used to be done when they're in the moment doing what they do now. And they don't want to hear that all the time. They don't want to deal with that all the time. And it's understandable. You can understand how that can get to someone. And especially after a loss, you're 7-8 for the month. You just got annihilated by the team, the Golden State Warriors, that you're going to see in the finals. They just added the second best player in the league, and they're looking unstoppable. And you're struggling. And you're 33 years old, and you're getting towards the tail end of your prime. I can understand. Everything's been brewing. And then you have criticisms from from players, I mean, from media and former players about, you know, asking for more help. LeBron's human, you know? One thing you can say about the guy, in all his years in the league, he made mention he's never been in trouble. He's never had any major issues. Aside from, like, comments like these and taking my talents to Miami when he left Cleveland. I mean, he hasn't done anything else that's really been, like, you know, headline news for the wrong reasons. This one, depending on which side you're on and what perspective you're seeing it from, you can take it as being one of those moments. But the story doesn't end here. Charles Barkley is surely going to have comments Thursday. And I'm definitely looking forward to hearing what it is that he has to say. And I want to see if this is going to be the new LeBron. If he's going to make this known where he's not going to take any more criticism and critiques that he deems unfair. He did say a new sheriff's in town. So we'll see if that sheriff is here to stay. But guys, I just wanted to open the show with that. It's obviously been the topic of discussion in the sports world. Topic of discussion on all sports radio. And I just wanted to touch on it here on Be Terrific. But I think that we're ready to take a break. And then afterwards, we'll be back and we'll talk some more sports. This time, we'll talk a little hockey. Yeah, hockey. That's for you guys, the hockey fans. Let you know some of the things that's going on with the Islanders. I'm not sure if you heard. We'll touch on that briefly. But like I said, we'll go ahead and take this break, and we'll be back right after this on Be Terrific. Stay tuned. Hey guys, welcome back to the Mike Warsa Show on Be Terrific. I'm Kevin Foley filling in. You'll find us on all social media at Be Terrific TV. And you can find archives of the Mike Warsa Show and other Be Terrific programming on BeTerrific.com. Guys, told you guys we're going to get into a little bit of hockey now. Some hockey news, a little business related more so than anything else. The Islanders are getting kicked out of the Barclays Center. This is due to the belief, I guess, of the ownership there, or to the knowledge. It's not even a belief, it's something that they know. They can make more money hosting other events than they do hosting Islander hockey games. Supposedly the Islanders have the third worst attendance in the NHL in general. The facility wasn't specifically really made for hockey. It's not the best experience for the fans there. They have their views are obstructed a lot of the times, and the quality of the ice is subpar. So there are a lot of complaints about the arena overall, and just monetarily it just doesn't make sense for them to have the Islanders there. So I'm sure that even with the subpar ice, and even with the experience not being as great as it is, a lot of people are going to be disappointed. I'm sure there are a lot of Islander fans who attend the games and who look forward to attending the games who would be disappointed in this. I think it speaks a little bit to the popularity of hockey in general. I'm not sure what the latest numbers are or what they are as of late, but for some time, hockey was diminishing as far as popularity in this country, in the U.S. And it's harder and harder now, especially with the Islanders in New York, to compete with teams like the Rangers and the Devils, because they already own such a large portion of the fan base, and it's only but so many. So it makes sense that they're not going to really attract that many fans. You know, a lot of the Rangers fans aren't going to go watch the Islanders. Devils fans aren't going to go watch the Islanders. And, I mean, we're in the tri-state area, and it's with the sport that's not largely popular, especially compared to, you know, the NFL, the NBA, or even MLB. So when it comes to those things and to sports in general, they're pretty much at the bottom there. And it's no offense to Islander fans out there. It's just the facts of the matter. It's going to be really tough for them to compete with these teams and to get a lot of fanfare and get a lot of people to attend the games. I believe they played in Nassau County, Nassau Coliseum last year, and they may have to go back there if the ownership decides to go through with this, and if they can. And it's that's kind of sad. I don't think I can recall ever a major sports team being kicked out of its own arena for not generating enough income. There's some things that need to be done, I would say, to kind of help the Islanders as a team, but to help the sport in general in terms of popularity. I believe I was talking to Adam about this, and I think I was talking to other friends about this as well. Hockey seems like a fun sport. You guys know I've never been on the ice. I've never played. But it's competitive. It's skillful. It's hard-nosed. But I guess one of the things that makes it difficult, I guess, in this generation, in this point in time, is that a lot of kids aren't growing up playing it. And that's because of they need access to play it, which isn't as easily available as a football field or a basketball court. Then on top of that, the expense. I mean, the equipment costs a lot of money. You have to get skates, you have to get a stick, you have to get gloves, you have to get padding. I mean, you have to get a puck. All of these things can get up there as far as price goes. And especially nowadays, people aren't willing to allocate or to dedicate that type of money and those types of funds to play a sport, you know? Other sports comparatively like basketball or baseball, you buy a basketball, you buy a football, you get a court, you're simple. Everything is already set for you. And I'm not like trying to make one sport or try to state in any way that one sport is better than the other. I'm just simply stating why the cost of playing this sport can affect the popularity of the sport. If it was more affordable to be able to get these things, then I'm sure more kids would play it, more kids would watch it, it'd be more fanfare, and, you know, maybe the Barclays Center is making a lot more money having the Islanders in town than what they are. But just with the cost of how much it costs, with the cost of the equipment and everything that's needed to play the sport, it just doesn't help things. There's a lot of things that kind of like... that are influencing the popularity of the sport and just the popularity of the Islanders in general. But that was just my take on one of the things that kind of like hurts it. I can only speak from my point of view and my personal experience. And that's one of the reasons why I never did play hockey at all. You know, it wasn't in my neighborhood growing up. It wasn't something that was available to me, but it certainly wasn't anything that I could afford as well. And I think that's a big thing. And when you look at another thing too, as well, is that if you look at a sport like the NBA, one of the great things that they do have is that they market their stars. Like you know who LeBron James is, you know who Carmelo Anthony is, you know who Dwayne Wade is, you know who these big stars are because you always see their face, they're visible. They're not like other sports where they wear helmets and they're covered. The NHL doesn't have that star. They don't have that guy where everybody can look at it and know, oh, this is that guy. This is, you know, the major star in the sport. They don't market their stars enough. They don't make them visible enough. And they don't build a connection enough between them and the fans to make people and spur people to the sport to want to support and to go watch. There's a lot of things that are going on, a lot of dynamics at play. But that's a big problem for I don't think just the Islanders, but I think that's a big problem for the NHL and something that I would look at as possible signs of not good things. And it's hopefully something that they can fix. Obviously, I know Michael loves hockey. Jenny loves hockey. You know, the Terrifics. I know you guys love hockey. Adam plays. Dave plays. I know a lot of hockey players and a lot of hockey enthusiasts. So I certainly want to see the sport thrive. Not just for them, but also as something that's an option for other kids to play. You know, everyone's not good at basketball. Everyone's not good at baseball. Everyone's not good at football. But you're not good at those sports. You may be really good at hockey. And I think that option should be there for kids to be able to play. So hopefully we can do something where we can make it more affordable for them to play. And this popularity of the sport rises so that it can thrive. And things like them being, you know, kicked out of arena for not making enough money, just doesn't happen. But those are my thoughts on that. I just wanted to touch on that. I saw that news today and wanted to share it with you guys. Speaking of arenas and sports, I'm not too sure about the Raiders moving to Las Vegas anymore. Supposedly, they've run into some roadblocks with building the arena. Alderson, actually, let me not quote his name wrong. I want to make sure I get that right. Yeah, Sheldon Adelson. He's a big casino mogul out there in Vegas. And he was one of the early investors, one of the early potential partners to with the Raiders to bring them to Las Vegas. But supposedly, I think they've run into a roadblock with getting approval for the stadium. And I think they wanted to cut out Alderson in the deal. And he wasn't too happy with that. So he's kind of backed out completely. I think he had $650 million that he was personally going to invest into the building of the arena. But since the news that has come out, and that the Raiders wanted to exclude him and his family and their involvement, he pulled out. And other people were hesitant too as well. Goldman Sachs was supposed to help fund, even if Alderson wasn't. But from what I'm hearing now, they're even having hesitations about doing so. So it looks like the Oakland Raiders may remain the Oakland Raiders. It's still yet to be determined. Obviously, things can change. Just like they were supposed to be there, and now it seems like they won't be. It can go back to them being right back in Vegas or being on their way to Vegas soon as well. I think the major hurdle, the big hurdle that they have to face is how they're going to pay for this $1.9 billion stadium. Obviously, the taxpayers aren't going to want that. Not sure they want a football team that much. And when you lose big money like Adelson, and you have Goldman Sachs finicky on their involvement, that certainly doesn't help. And I understand why they were moving from Oakland in the first place as well. They're sharing the same stadium as the Oakland Raiders. As the Oakland Athletics. It's not really the most up-to-date place to play in. And this city is not looking to pay for another arena. I think the Golden State Warriors have run into the same issue in Oakland as well. So we'll see what happens. Personally, I hope they stay in Oakland. I just remember them as the Oakland Raiders. It seems like that's long been a tradition. That's who they are. That's who I remember them as. And I don't think that the city should lose their team. But obviously, they deserve a better stadium, so they need to find a way to pay for it. With that said, I also want to see Las Vegas get a team. Because Las Vegas, for obvious reasons, has always been synonymous with gambling. They are synonymous with gambling. And because of that, it scared a lot of teams off and leagues from wanting to, place teams there. And I just kind of want to see that narrative and that concern destroyed. I want people to feel confident enough to put a team in Vegas and that to be and the fear of some big scandal being disapproved, being proven wrong, and just the only way that can happen is if they get a sports team that's scandal free and without issue. In this day and age, you don't need to be in Vegas to place bets or to be involved in the betting scandal. So I just think that, we should just put all of that to rest and Vegas should be able to get a team. I just don't think it should come at the expense of Oakland. But we'll see how that goes. There's still a lot to be determined. They weren't going to move this year anyway. It was going to be a future move in a year or two. So there's still enough time for them to get their ducks in a row and make that happen. But we shall see. But guys, we're going to go ahead and take a break, and then we'll be back again on the Michael Archer Show with me, Kevin Foley, as your host. Stay tuned. Hey guys, welcome back to the Michael Archer Show on Be Terrific. We're here for the last few minutes of our hour-long show. Always comes to a quick end when I'm having fun. It's great talking to you guys. Always enjoyable. And, you know what they say about when you're having fun. So it leads true again today as well. But I was just kind of skimming through, seeing what was going on. If there's anything outside of the Trump world that's going on today. Maybe something new, something got happened while we've been on air. And it doesn't seem to be much. I'm looking and looking and looking, and I don't see anything really at all. Some things trending that are relevant to us, the Terrifics, and what we care about. And they're not very positive. So, of course, we don't want to hear that. That goes against what we're about. We're not about anything negative. We're about positive stuff. We're about entertainment. We're about, you know, bringing joy, making you a little bit happy, hopefully making you a little bit wiser and more up to date with the world and what's going on. Oh, okay. So, actually, Facebook has some trending topics, but I think some of this I covered. WhatsApp, I covered the new features. I covered that yesterday. What else is there? Super Mario. I guess in their latest update, they have an easy mode. Super Mario is a pretty simple game. I don't think you need to dumb it down anymore. Let me rephrase that. I don't think you need to make it any easier than what it is. I think it's pretty easy as it is, but that's what they're doing now. What else is going on? Let's see. Harvard Law Review. Harvard Law elects first black woman president, so that's pretty cool. Nothing really else. Nothing else is going on. I actually want to read an article Adam was telling me about the end of Hollywood as we know it. Briefly, I guess, where he said the article, what it touched on was how pretty much the end of making movies is going to be done, that we'll have this pretty much, you know, big data will be able to kind of like scan us and know they would access, like, for instance, who are the actors we want to see in a particular movie. And based on the information that it collects about us, it would create a movie right there for us to be able to view. And that sounds pretty cool and pretty far out. Real Jetsons-like or something. I don't even know if Jetsons-like is the word to describe it. But that sounds a little creepy too as well. I mean, but nonetheless. The MacBook Pro Touch Bar banned from multiple state bar exams. I probably have to save that one. I want to read and see why exactly that's the case. Could it be used to cheat more? I don't know. Maybe the Terrifics have a reason, and you know something that that would make it okay, or why they would probably ban that from being used for state bars. I certainly have no idea. I haven't even used the new Mac. I've seen it. Looks pretty cool, but I'm not sure if it comes with anything that's necessarily relevant or of need or of use. For me, at least. So I need to take $1 billion to write down, huh? Yeah. I mean, not much going on, man. Everything else we already know about because we hear it enough. But wow, we're getting to the end of the show here. But I will touch on one thing. I did see an article about the Flint water crisis. And it's crazy that we've heard about the situation about a year now, maybe close to 2 years, and it's been going on for longer than that. And there's still people, and the state still hasn't been given, they're still not getting clean water. They still have pretty much contaminated pipes. People still can't consume the water from the pipes from the faucets. There are kids who are pretty much damaged for life. I mean, I don't know the exact number. I'm guessing thousands. I mean, I hope not more than that. I hope it's not even thousands. I hope that I'm wrong and it's less than that. But nonetheless, kids are going to suffer effects for the rest of their life, long-term damage and effects in the United States of America because they couldn't get clean water. They were essentially poisoned because people knowingly allowed them to continue to use water that they knew had lead and knew contained things that would damage them and didn't care enough and care more about the bottom line and money and state budget and things like that. It's criminal and it's disgusting that something like that could happen here. It could happen anywhere for that matter, but especially here because we can afford it and it doesn't have to happen. And it's just sad. And for that still to be an issue now, 2017, even after it got, you know, it made way into the headlines and everyone's aware of it, and it's not even really being touched about or talked about much now. It's just disgusting, and I'm just I don't know. That's a little bit negative, and I'm sorry to go there with you guys, but I just saw that and couldn't believe it. Like, wow, that's still not being addressed. But either way, we're at the end of the show. You know, we had a great show. Talked about sports a lot, but I thought the LeBron stuff was really interesting. I thought the hockey stuff was interesting. Sad, but interesting nonetheless, you know. But I'll leave you guys with this. Difficult roads often lead to beautiful destinations. So no matter what you're going through, just know that brighter days are ahead. Just keep your head up, keep grinding, and you'll get there. Thank you guys for joining me on the Michael Artsy Show on Be Terrific. You can find archives of today's shows and other shows of the Be Terrific programming on BeTerrific.com. Join the Slat Tack. Look at me, I'm fumbling at the goal line. You can join the Slack chat. Yes, fumbled again. You can join the Slack chat. Message us at connect@beterrific.com, and you know, we'll get you in there. We love you. We love the Terrifics, and it's always enjoyable doing the show with you. Join me here again today. I mean tomorrow, same time, same place. I'm Kevin Foley. You guys stay terrific.